I want to talk this morning about limitations, but not really limitations. I've entitled my talk "No Limits," because sometimes I think, as followers of Jesus, you know, we've been singing songs this morning about the greatness of God, how amazing Jesus is, the changes that He's made in our lives. Norman spoke to us about how it's in our weakness that God does work in us. That when if we think we're not weak, that's probably a weakness. You know what I mean? We know we're vulnerable. We know we have weaknesses within us. And I believe that it's in our weakness that God does His best work, because that's where we're vulnerable. That's where we're at our most real. It's when we realize that we haven't made it that really we can make it. Yeah? Does that make sense? And so what I'm going to kind of look at today is, like, how do we get through the barriers that stop us fulfilling the things that God has called us to? How do we get beyond the limitations that we set? So I'm going to start at the very beginning, because that's a very good place to start. Well, it's not quite the beginning. It's 26 verses in from the beginning. We're going to go to Genesis 1, and we're going to do from verse 26, just three verses. So it says this. So this is part of the creation story. So God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." The first thing that we find out about God when we read the Bible, if we open the Bible and start reading from Genesis 1, the first thing that we learn about God is that He is creative. It says, "In the beginning, God created." So whatever notion we have about God, whatever we have learned about God, the first thing that the Bible tells us is that God is creative. And part of God's creativity is within us, within mankind, within the creation that He made. And over the past few weeks, we've been considering what it's like to be part of the story that God is writing. What is it, the narrative? We start in Genesis and go through to Revelation. We know the beginning of the story, we know the end, and we're somewhere in the middle. We're in the middle of the story. The story is still being written. And we are part of God's creative process. We are part of God's creative plan. And did you know that because God is creative and because humankind is made in God's image, that means, therefore, human beings are creative, yeah? It's part of the image of God. We are creative people. And one of the things that I love about the creation story is that when God creates all the earth and the animals and the environment, and He brings human beings into it, and they become co-creators with God. Humankind becomes co-creators with God. We see it, first of all, when God instructs Adam to name the animals. He didn't tell him what to name. He didn't give him any pointers. He just said, "Go and name them." And the first thing that God asks Adam to do is to be creative. Yeah. So we're part of the story of creativity. We're part of the story of creation, and we are co-creators with God. That's what we were designed to be. We are also contributors into the creation that God has made. So when God is at work, His plan is that we, as His people, contribute and work with Him in the things that He does. And also, we see that in humanity, in our world, in history, in our present times, we see this creative activity in so many things, right? You know, we see it in art, which is obvious, yes. We see it in music. Engineering is engineering's creative, Alistair Bush. Architecture, do you ever walk around a city and just like you're gobsmacked at architecture. You know, sometimes I think that, see when you go up to the bridges at Queen's Ferry and you see the three bridges, one built in the 19th, 20th and 21st century, and you look at the engineering and the fourth rail bridge, which is like the most over-engineered bridge ever, do you ever look at them and think, wow, wow? Do you think maybe God looks at them and think, wow, look what my creation created. Look at all these amazing buildings. See, it's not just nature that we see the creative brilliance of God in. We also see it in the creative works of mankind, because this is through the creativity of God that we inherit these things. We see it in science. We see it in healthcare. One of my older brothers had a triple heart bypass a few weeks ago. He was out and having dinner at my dad's birthday, like 10 days after his operation. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? What an advancement. And in exploration, we've pretty much circumnavigated the globe, and now we're putting a telescope that's looking into black holes. So we have all this kind of creative, exploratory, all this design adventure going on, and I believe that that is how God created humanity to be. We're front-facing, outward-looking, and he wants us to be a part of that. He says to mankind, be fruitful and multiply. Or as it says, I think it says in the King James Version, go forth and multiply. Now, I think we always look at that and think that's about procreation. It's about let's go and make more people. But I believe it's more than that. I think it's God is saying, when he's saying be fruitful and multiply, he's saying go and keep creating. Go and move forward. And if we think of the Garden of Eden, I don't know what your impression of it is, but sometimes I think that that was what the whole world looked like. But actually, the Garden of Eden wasn't the whole world. The Garden of Eden was a specific place on our planet. And this, be fruitful and multiply, and God says, fill the earth, go and fill the earth and subdue it or cultivate it. Go and create some more. And the Garden of Eden, although it had a set space, God did not set boundaries for humanity within the garden. He said, I want you to go beyond here. I want you to expand. I want you to multiply. Maybe he said to them, well, you go and plant more gardens. But he moved them out. He said, go, extend, multiply, plant new gardens. And the reason I want to bring this story to the forefront of talking about having no limits is that when God created the earth and he created mankind, he is, in this story, God is setting out his mission and purpose for his people. And God's created plan and purpose for us, there are no limits, no borders, and no boundaries. Yeah? You with me? There was one boundary in the garden, though, and that was a tree. There was a tree. Genesis 2, let's snip back to Genesis. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. And the Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Move on to verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. In the creation story, God only ever told Adam and Eve to do things, except for one. The only thing that God told Adam not to do was eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave Adam freedom and authority to rule over the earth, to take care of it, unburdened by the restrictions of disobedience, aka sin. We would commonly call that sin. There were no restrictions for humankind before the fall. There was no restrictions to ruling over the earth, to taking care of it in the right and proper way. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and brought sin in, that process or that way became broken. And the problems in our world today, they're no different from what they were since that moment when mankind disobeyed God. It's the same problem that has cursed our world from that day until now. Because what humanity is attempting to do is to exert a broken authority over a broken world. God gave Adam and Eve perfect authority over a perfect world. But now the authority is broken and the world is broken. But the desire for mankind to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth and govern it, it's still there. But the problem it has is that sin has caused us to do it destructively. And I use that word because when we try to exert authority aside from God, then we become destructive. When we operate under the authority of God, we become constructive. Yeah? You can use that. Take notes. That was a good one, isn't it? You see, when things are destructive, they come apart. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world just now, and I think we would say it's definitely not constructive. It's destructive. Things are being destructed. We see it particularly at the moment in Ukraine, where we have a man, a government, a leader who's attempting to go forth and multiply, to expand and grow his territory. And we have seen this all throughout history. Empires coming, empires going, wars mostly to impose or gain more land space, or to impose values and views on other people. So you see the spirit in mankind to multiply and go forward and have dominion. When God is in control of that, that's a beautiful thing. When God is not in the picture and it becomes self-centered and full of sin, then it becomes destructive, it becomes poisonous, it becomes a curse, and it puts people to death. That's what we see. And I think what the sad thing is, when we look at this in the context of what God's original plan is, we actually see that the pursuit of power and land grabs and killing and removing certain types of people or languages, or whatever, is a perversion of God's original intent. It's the spirit that God created in mankind that is being used abusively to oppress and destroy other people. Yeah? We get that. Okay. Let's jump forward from the first book of the Old Testament now to the first book of the New Testament. This might be a leap, but I will join this up. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Just a quick point. That's what God gave Adam. He gave him authority to rule and reign over the earth. "I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Are you seeing a parallel here? If you don't, here it comes. Jesus said to the disciples, go and make disciples. God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. You get it? Yes, good. That's one down. One down, a few more to go. Jesus said, go and make disciples. God said in the beginning, be fruitful and multiply. Jesus said, make disciples of all the nations. God said to Adam and Eve, fill the earth and subdue it. You see, in the Great Commission, what I think is that Jesus is instructing his disciples to fulfill the purpose that they were created for. And Jesus says to them to make disciples of all the nations. No limits, no borders, no boundaries. In Acts 1, Jesus says this. This again is a kind of in a similar timeline to where we're at here, so it is around the same time. He said when the apostles were with Jesus, this is just before Jesus, he's risen again, he's just about to ascend to heaven. They kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? So there's the disciples, apostles, thinking in that kind of earthly broken sense. Like, are we going to do a land grab? Are we going to extend our physical land area? Are we going to reign over a place and people? Jesus replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You get the theme here? No boundaries. This is the same mandate, the same call that God has given his apostles and to us that God gave to mankind right at the beginning. You know, when Jesus said, go into all the world, I don't believe that he meant that every single one of us would literally go everywhere in the world. But I think what he's telling us is that we are to make disciples everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, no boundaries. And I guess that leaves me the question then, if we know that that is God's plan, original plan for us, as creative images of him, and if we have this mandate, this great commission from Jesus to go out and fulfill that under a new authority, a new covenant that Jesus brought to us, and if Jesus also said, be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, the question I have to ask myself, and have asked myself, and therefore I have to ask you is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? And if it's not what we're doing, what's stopping us? What is stopping us? Where are the boundaries that are stopping that from happening? Sometimes it can be good things that actually restrict us from fulfilling what God has called us to do. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough resources. Maybe our family is what causes the barrier. Maybe it's our family that causes, that's the limit of my exploration, my going forth. Maybe it's my job. Like, I will go that far, but now I draw a line, that's as far as I can take myself. Maybe we even go to these places, but we don't bring the good news of Jesus in to those places, that the barrier is actually we leave Jesus there and then we move into a space where we don't take him. Or maybe it's just commitments, just other commitments that we have. And I think during COVID we physically saw our boundaries become really enclosed and limited. And my sense is that in this season that we're moving into, that God is saying to us as a church, I think he's saying to us as the church, it's time to get the barriers taken away. It's time to break through the barriers. It's time to break through. Because we want to see the kingdom of God break into our broken world, right? We want to see that. Because I think it's without doubt that life without God, we look it in front of our eyes, the state of our nation, the state of our world, that without God, this world is a basket case. It's broken. We want to see the kingdom of God breaking in. We want to see the kingdom of God breaking in. We want to make new disciples. We want to baptize new disciples. and welcome them into the Church of Jesus Christ. And we want to be fruitful and multiply. Yeah? One of the things I've said for years and years is that the Church of Jesus Christ is a growth project. There's nowhere in the scriptures that you hear about the church diminishing. It's always front-facing. It's always moving forward. There's always growth. Jesus said, I will build my church. I believe that when Jesus said that is still present tense. When he said it 2,000 years ago, he meant it then about that time, and it means the same for our time now. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in the early church, we see that the Lord added to their number daily. It's growth. It's moving forward. And actually, we do see it in our world. There are more followers of Jesus on this planet today than there have ever been at any point in history. It's maybe not how it is in this country, but that's how it is across the world. So maybe we are seeing some decline and regression, but worldwide, the church is growing. And I guess what I'm challenging myself with this, I want to challenge you guys, is that where are the limitations? Where are the boundaries? Where are the barriers that we're not seeing the kingdom of God breaking through where we are? I was thinking as well, and this might seem a slight tangent, but you know the story of the feeding of the 5,000? And we're not actually sure what the total number is there, but that was 5,000 men plus wives and children. So it's probably closer to 10,000 people there. And nobody's got any food. They've been coming listening to Jesus. The reality, people are hungry. Nobody's got any food. So Jesus sends the disciples out and saying, go and find food. And so they do a great job. They bring one guy, one wee boy, and he's got two fish and five loaves. That's the right way around, right? Two fish, five loaves. Yeah, two fish and five loaves. Now, here's where we break boundaries. That wee guy that came up with his packed lunch gave all of his lunch away, but he still got fed. See, he gave his lunch away, but he still got fed because everybody that was there got food. When we think we don't have enough, we have enough. Yeah? We give what we have, and what will God do with it? He will multiply it. You see, when we go, there is multiplication. Because that's the model, that's the format, that's the plan. We go as God commands us, and we will see multiplication. And I think actually the feeding the 5,000 is a beautiful expression of God's intended plan for us, that we give what we have, but we still get fed. In Philippians, Apostle Paul said this, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. See, Paul learned that there's no limits, there's no boundaries, there's no barriers. And if we want to see a move of God in this town, in this nation, across our world, then we've got to identify the barriers and get them out of the way. And that might be difficult, that might be painful. But as I've been looking at these things, like I get quite excited because I think, like, this is attainable. This is achievable. It's maybe just going to take a bit of discomfort and a bit of breaking out of our normality and our comfort and our norm of only going so far And maybe just pushing that wee bit further, and God will do the rest. You with me on that? And I think, imagine, I don't know how many people in this room, 50 or 60 people, if we all just took one step further beyond the garden, yeah? Stepping out of Eden, but taking everything that God has put in us and showed us, and then get creative with that, and we'll see the multiplication coming beyond where we're at. Tell a quick story as well, similar to the feeding of the 5,000 thing. And this is a really kind of almost... Well, let me just tell the story. So when it was when we went into COVID and our food pantry, our food provision just became like off the charts. And you, like, I've told the story 100 times, but me and Blair pretty much worked full time through that first summer, still bearing the scars of that. Just finding food for anywhere, packing it all together, getting people to come with cars, and then driving food out to needy people. And there was one day, Blair and I are in the cabin where our food pantry is, and we just kept making up parcels, bags of stuff, right? So I should say, when we arrived, there was loads of food in the food pantry. The shelves are absolutely jam-packed full. And we started packing up, and we didn't really look up. We just kept packing food. People would come, we'd give their bags out, they'd drive away, they kept doing that. And we're kind of getting to the end of it. And then Blair and I looked at the shelves, and like the shelves were as full at the end as they were at the beginning. Now, we've never really made a... We just kind of thought, do you think that was like a feeding of the 5,000? Moment, I swear not a word of a lie, the shelves were as full at the end of that as when we finished. Now, I can't give you an inventory of what was there at the beginning, what was there at the end, but I know we were gobsmacked. And I don't know, was that a moment where we stepped out the garden of it? We went beyond the boundary? And God did something that he's done before. I think it was. We can't deny what we saw. We can't deny what we saw. And guys, I just want to say that to encourage you, that's what I mean. All we were doing was packing bags of food. But we were out of our comfort zone. We were flying by the seat of our pants. It would have been easier for us to stay in the house because that's what we were kind of supposed to be doing. God wants us to push through the boundaries. He wants us to take the edge of the envelope and just push it a bit further. And I think it's in those spaces that God is going to do something.